My name is Samuel Howell, and I'm currently a doctoral candidate in geophysics at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. The San Andreas Fault is a strike-slip plate boundary, meaning there's two tectonic plates that are kind of rubbing against each other rather than pushing into each other or pulling apart. And what happens is that boundary between the plates every now and then becomes stuck. It can be stuck for decades up to hundreds of years, but the plates don't stop moving. And so eventually what will happen is all of a sudden that stuck or locked part of the fault is going to move and catch up with the rest of the plate, and we have large earthquakes. Well, in order to study the motions of the earth around the fault, the Plate Boundary Observatory coordinates and maintains hundreds of global positioning system instruments, which are similar to the GPS in your cell phone that constantly records small ground movements. And the horizontal movements that it records, the north, south, east, and west motions, have really improved our understanding of the fault's behavior. But they also record a vertical component. And these tend to be affected by precipitation, the recent drought, pumping of groundwater in response to the drought, the instrument's foundation settling over a time, and other effects that have caused them to really be avoided when looking at the region's response to the earthquake cycle. So our overall understanding of how the ground should respond vertically to motions on the San Andreas Fault is lacking. Well, in our study, we used a statistical technique to break down the noisy vertical signals from the GPS instruments into a simple, smooth pattern that straddles the San Andreas. And in doing this, discovered four 125-mile-wide regions where the Earth is rising or sinking a few millimeters a year. That's like the thickness of two pennies stacked together every year, or about a tenth of the horizontal motion that occurs. That's how much it's moving. Okay. And this vertical motion has been there since the last major earthquake. So it's been there, you know, been accumulating for about 100 years. And the problem has not been that, well, the problem has been that noise in this vertical signal, the difficulty in interpreting the vertical GPS signal, has really prevented us from measuring it directly. So these GPS stations rest on monuments, which usually mean that they're cemented into the ground, secured with guy wires, and these sort of things. And what happens is, for example, if there's drought and water's leaving the ground and the ground is shriveling up, that instrument's going to go down, or the groundwater's being pumped up beneath it. And if it then comes in rains, the soil is going to absorb that water like a sponge, and the instrument's going to go up. You know, over time, if the cement sinks into the ground a little, you're going to measure that. And what happens is that all of these various and sort of uncoordinated movements of the GPS stations, they cause really drastic variations in the vertical motion you see that can just be between two neighboring stations. And the Plate Boundary Observatory has made this data available for more than a decade, but this noise caused it really to be avoided in tectonic studies. Now, one thing that did come out of this is over the last year or two, there have been a couple major studies that were actually able to measure the response of the ground in California to groundwater pumping into the drought, and learned a lot about how the drought was affecting the water supply in California. But what we really wanted to know in Southern California is, how do we get around these and look at the vertical motions due to the major fault that's there? Because, again, we really didn't have a great understanding of how the ground should be moving vertically. So we've been measuring the horizontal motions for a long time, and they're pretty easy to digest. It shows the two plates moving relative to each other, and we've been able to feed those motions into computer simulations that run through about 300 years of historic earthquakes along the San Andreas Fault system and predict the current state. So they predict how stresses near the San Andreas should be. And what they also do is they predict a vertical motion. You can imagine if you're standing on a carpet and somebody pushes the carpet towards you, even though they're just pushing horizontally, there's also going to be vertical motion. And depending on the assumptions that go into these models, the vertical motions they predicted could be very different. And so having this measurement of the vertical component of the regional movement due to the earthquake cycle allows us to go back and narrow down the range of models. So we can look at the models that predict uplift and subsidence in the same areas, about the same magnitude and about the same size as what we're now measuring. So is the assumptions that go into our computer simulations improve our idea of the current stresses on the fault and their behavior of the strength of the earth near the fault and potential seismic hazards, that also improves. We're all still learning how faults work. We're not exactly sure what causes a fault to suddenly move after decades or centuries of accumulating this stress and not moving at all. And so what we can do is look at the effect the fault's having on the surrounding region. And as we look at these effects, now we know the vertical effect, and we can add that back into our simulation. We can start to improve our knowledge of how fault mechanics work. And the more we understand about the fault, the better idea we'll have of the current snapshot of stresses and hazards on the fault. But I don't think that anybody's ever going to be able to predict where and when an earthquake will happen, at least not anytime soon. There are seismic hazard maps that offer an idea of the potential size and frequency of earthquakes in a given area, and these are based on the frequency of past events and our knowledge of how the fault behaves and its current stress. But really, you can't rely on predictions of these earthquakes, and preparation and education are definitely the keys.